You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Right now, use promo code SPORTS20. That's promo code SPORTS20 to get a free $20 bet at PlayAlberta.ca. TG, how you doing?
Greg's all good for a Tuesday. Big win for the Oilers yesterday. Lots going on in the sporting world, so there's no complaints on my end.
Nice. Well, I just wanted to get an update for the perm for any of our listeners out there. Tom Gazzola, of course, is getting a perm once we raise $5,000 for MS. So it's easy if you want to donate. Our goal today was to get to $400 just for today, because that will put us at 60% of our goal. We'll be at $3,000 if we get $400 today, and we're well on our way there. So if you want to help out, $25, $50, $100, $200. We actually had a few people do a $500, which is awesome. So go to GregorWalks4MS.ca or text us at 101216. We can just send you the link. It's very easy. And all the money is going to go to MS, and then Tommy is going to get a perm at the parlor. And everybody who donates goes into a draw, and two of the winners are going to come down to parlor. You're going to get your own, you know, hair and shave done as well, if you like. And we'll have a little fun and laughs while Tommy's getting his perm, because evidently it doesn't take just 10 minutes. So that'll be a lot of fun. Have you? I hear you've been looking. Your brother was telling me they've been looking online for what type of perm you're going to get.
Are you serious? Of course he would. I didn't know that there was like a way to differentiate. All I heard was tight or loose, and I'll leave it in the hands of our listeners, or maybe the people that win the draw to come down to parlor. And I'll tell you this, Greg's, on Friday at that Jets-Oilers game, as I was making my way from the ice house from the pregame show into the arena, I had about 10 people say, "Hey, Gazzola, where's the perm?" just screaming it at me inside Ford Hall, and I'm like, oh no, what have I done? All for a good cause. Clearly, people are getting a kick out of this, my brother included. So I'm assuming everyone wants the tight perm. Every mock-up that you've had done and photoshopped, I've looked at and gone, oh no, this is going to be a disaster. But for a good cause, I understand. We're going to do it. I'm not pulling out of this, and whatever it ends up being, I'm going to embrace it for the 2 months, and we're going to work with it, Greggs. How does that sound?
I love it. I can't wait. Neither can you. I sense that you're quite excited for this, which is great.
I'm scared.
You got to be pot committed. The Edmonton Oilers, I think they're pot committed right now on Stuart Skinner. I believe that Stuart Skinner, for the remainder of this season, should be the starter for the Edmonton Oilers. I don't think it's a hot take. I don't think it's very controversial. I think he's the starter. And honestly, with the Oilers have what, 18 games remaining, 17 games remaining in the NHL season. There's no reason why he can't start 12 of those games. That's not a major ask by any stretch of the imagination. The Oilers have 17 games left. He can start 12. Camel can start 5. And if he actually, you know, Tommy, I went through the schedule, and I really think it's pretty easy. You're not going to overtax him. You also can play Jack Campbell, right? Like, I would play Skinner the next two on this one. I can they have 2 days off. You could give Campbell the Ottawa game if you like. Then Skinner plays Dallas, Seattle. Then you have San Jose or Arizona. You pick your whichever one. I'd actually probably play him against Arizona, because San Jose 5-on-5 is actually pretty competitive. And you could play him Arizona twice, because they play Arizona, Vegas, then Arizona, Vegas back to back, right? So you can play him Ottawa, Arizona, Arizona to end this month. And then if you get into the final, they've got Anaheim, the second half of a back to back, and they're in Anaheim, or they play one of those final two San Jose games. Like, it's not hard. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not hard to give him 5 games. He's got to figure things out, but the most part is don't overtax Skinner, but he hasn't played a lot. Him playing 12 more games won't put him at a taxable number at all.
Yeah, and there's no more time to let Jack Campbell, quote-unquote, figure out his game. He had that opportunity through December, obviously took advantage of his opportunities in January, looked like he was back on track, but these last stretch of games over the last couple of weeks tell us otherwise. So we saw a 37 save performance yesterday from Stuart Skinner. There were some great opportunities the Buffalo was able to muster up. Credit to them. They're a high-flying team, obviously very powerful offensively, and we had some text coming in talking about the Oilers' defense, saying they don't defend well, they don't defend well. Well, when they did get beaten, Stuart Skinner was there. He was rock solid. I think a game like that, Greg's, gives us an indicator as to where he's at and how he's playing. and the severity of the situation. This team trying to get back into the top three in the Pacific, running out of games. Teams in the division have a game or two in hand on them, and Skinner came up in the clutch for them yesterday. I think that's a great sign at a critical juncture of the season. And like I said, no more time to let Jack Campbell figure out his game. You laid it out there with the schedule. Those look like applicable games to start Campbell. You hope that he finds his game a little bit in those starts. But right now, this is Stuart Skinner's crease, deservedly so. And I think that that's the right decision at this point in time. Good on Campbell for what he did in January, but there's no more messing around, especially with us getting into the middle part of March here.
Tom Gazzola joins us at the Sports Center TSN 1260. You know, the story with Stuart Skinner, I thought he made some huge saves. You know, the Oilers' first period, my goodness, they had 20 shots and they created a lot of chances. And then the second period, they didn't really get anything until the fourth line. And the fourth line, you look at their numbers, you look at their production, you know, they were excellent last night. Costin, Shore, and Derek Ryan. And, you know, you look, Devin Shore, since he's been recalled in eight games, I'll say this, Tom. If Jesse Puljujärvi had eight-game stretch like this, the Puljujärvi fanatics would have been going bananas. Mm-hmm. With a 60% shot share, a 60% Fenwick, an over 60% expected goals. Oh, and, you know, an 80% goal for. That's what Shore is doing. Shore has been great for eight games. I'm not saying he's going to be great forever, but he has been great for eight games and is a prime example of a player and how much a little confidence that he regained by playing the American League and figuring out, hey, I can hold on to the puck. Like, I was an NHL player who, you know, had back-to-back 30-point seasons. I can contribute, and he's contributed significantly since he's returned.
Really nice play to Derek Ryan yesterday on that goal. That gave them a lot of momentum. A clutch goal late in a period, which we see the Oilers give up far too much. Nice to see them get one like that. And then it creates the question of, like you were talking about earlier in the segment, when Evander Kane comes back potentially on Thursday, who comes out? We saw Kleem Costin come out the other night. We saw Ryan McLeod get demoted from his top line duty. We saw Fogle get promoted to that line. And then Costin had a good performance. But with Shore playing well, Ryan contributing, like, it has created a bit of a logjam and a fight to get in, which I think is a healthy scenario to have. So a lot of people like to poo-poo Devin Shore. He's their 13th forward, Griggs, and he's put together a solid stretch. When you got guys that are going at the right time of the season, you let that continue on. So if Kane is good to go, with Shore playing well, with Costin having a better performance the other night in Buffalo, with Ryan continuing to perform, who comes out? That's the question, and I honestly don't know what the right answer is. Is it as simple as Shore? No, because he's playing good now. Costin brings a certain element that Shore and Ryan don't possess. That's big, strong, heavy, can hang on to the puck in tough areas, but he's got to have his motor running. And so I like what this has created now, this healthy competition, Shore contributing. That's nice to see. I don't know how long it'll last. Ryan continue to pitch in. What is the right answer to who comes out when Kane goes in? Because that is a significant upgrade to this forward unit. I don't really know what the answer is. What do you think, Griggs?
Well, I don't think it's going to be somebody who comes out every game. I think there's going to be lots of guys that I could see coming in and out of the lineup. We saw Kleem Costin come out for a game. I wouldn't be surprised if Ryan McLeod comes out for a game now that they've got some other center depth in Nick Bjugstad, right? I won't be surprised if Devin Shore comes out for a game. You know, Philip Broberg came out so they could get in Kleem Costin, right? Oilers are going to have somebody who is sitting out now who isn't playing terrible. And that's a good thing. It's somebody who's been a contributor, but the point is, Evander Kane has to play, right? There's no reason not to put him in the lineup, right? Now, if Kyler Yamamoto keeps playing well, he'll stick in, but Kyler Yamamoto, I don't think, is somebody that's immune to a night in the press box either moving forward, right? He's played well lately, but he's going to have to continue it, as are Costin and Shore and Ryan. You know, there's really, you know, maybe five or six guys you would say, hey, like, Drysdale could have a string of bad games. He ain't coming out of the lineup.
No.
Right? I remember people were yelling at him. I'm like, oh, yeah, all the guys done is score 12 goals in 12 games. Like, pump the brakes. You're not ever sitting him out. Drysdale's had a really good year.
Yeah.
You know, Nugent Hopkins, Hyman, Kane, McDavid, when they're healthy, they don't come out. But other than that, I think you could make an argument, you know, Janmark might sit out a game. There'll be lots of guys at different times, and it doesn't mean they're playing poorly. It just means the coaches wants to keep everybody in rhythm.
Yeah. Another thing too is to see how it all plays out with the 11-7, 12-6. We saw 12-6 yesterday. Like you said, Broberg comes out. Will it be situational? Will it be Jay Woodcroft looking at the opposition coaching staff and knowing that they like to match up? Will he go to 11-7 that way and try to throw off the matchups with McDavid and Draisaitl? So I think that they have another tool in their utility belt to whip out there if they need to. And we've seen them obviously be willing to go 11-7 in long stretches, but it is interesting, especially with a limited roster and not having the full 23. Man, they put themselves into a decent position here. Let's see if they can take advantage with a bunch of guys hungry to stay in the lineup. This is setting up to be good for the Oilers. There's some tough games coming up, Gregs, but I think they have answers to a lot of tough questions, though.
And one last one for you, Tommy, non-hockey related. Liverpool fans are getting a refund after the league final chaos from last year.
Yeah, the Champions League final, and there was, like, they're talking about a near disaster happening where fans, there was like a surge to get into the stadium in Paris because it was Champions League. Real Madrid was in the game against Liverpool, and they had like 20,000 tickets sold to Liverpool fans. They're going to reimburse those, Gregs, and there was images of the crowd swell, people unable to get into the actual stadium. There was images of the fans being tear gassed, and so they've ruled that this is on UEFA. UEFA has come up with a plan to reimburse people that were going to this. Could you imagine how poor of a fan experience it would have to be where you might get crushed to death, because we've seen these stampedes before happen with these surges of waiting to get in. And then on top of that, you get pepper sprayed for your efforts when all you want to do is go to a game and enjoy your team in a foreign country, play in a very prestigious tournament, which is the Champions League. Like, that is a horrible fan experience. They're even admitting that they were thankful that nobody lost their life. Soccer, man, it's crazy. And at some point, you look at people and you go, man, relax. It's just soccer. But I know that the fan craze is there. Obviously, huge investments, both from a soccer team standpoint. And then when you're a fan, you're paying pretty pennies to go into these games. But I don't know, man. Like, I hate crowds, but I like going to big events. And I like to go to big games, too. But if that was my fan experience, I'm getting pepper sprayed because I can't get into a game even though I have a valid ticket and I'm being blamed for it like Liverpool fans were. I'd be pretty pissed off and I'd want more than my money back for sure.
Tommy, have yourself a great evening. We will chat with you tomorrow.
Adam and Gregs.